welcome to We the People. Are we Indians deeply racist? Why are we so obsessed with fair skin? Why is it that whitening products in India are a 2,000 crore industry? It speaks to a deep, deep prejudice that has long been tolerated. There have been voices raised against this obsession with fairness from time to time, but actually the industry continues to thrive, with men now joining women on the fairness bandwagon. Now you have a campaign supported by, among others, well-known actress Nandita Das, questioning whether this isn't a form of racism, saying that yes, dark can be beautiful too. And there's something deeply unfair about this obsession with fairness. On We the People today, we look inwards to ask why this obsession with fairness should simply not be called the worst kind of racism. Nandita, what made you decide to lend your support and, in a sense, lead this counter campaign? And that's what I'd call it, because the fairness or the pro-fairness obsession has now existed for decades. Why, after all this time, did you believe that it was important to question this overt obsession with Gora skin?
This issue has come into my life by default. I've never started out saying, okay, this is what I'm going to champion. But invariably, wherever I would go or I would talk to young people in a college, and invariably a girl would get up and say, ma'am, how come you're so confident despite being dark? Many times, not once, but many times I've been asked. So this issue came into my life totally by default. And when Women of Worth, this organization, approached me, it was just one of the many things that I was doing till I realized that it had gone viral. And I'm not leading the campaign, but again, by default, I realized it has touched a very sensitive nerve among lots of people, because there are emails pouring in my inbox where people are just sharing their stories.
What's the rudest thing that has ever been said to you because you haven't been fair in the way that a number of Indian women want to be?
Well, I think when I see especially small kids, I mean, my neighbor has two daughters, and one is, to me, both are very fair, but one I believe is a little darker, like half a shade darker than the other. And she didn't want to go back to school and meet her other friends because she was being called darker than her sister. So her parents actually brought her to me and said, but look at her, you know. I mean, when I see little children who don't even understand the ways of the world, and they are already being told, don't go out in the sun because you'll get dark, it really kills your own self-esteem. And when your self-esteem is low, you're not able to do any of the normal things in your life.
I'm so glad you've brought up the self-esteem point, because Alec Padamsi is, in a sense, the granddaddy of the fairness cream advertising. Are you holding a gun to his head?
Absolutely.
You are, aren't you? And Alec, I agree with you on so many things, but on this, I've got to say, I am so, so much in disagreement. I have to declare my bias on this program right in advance. Are you taking out your hanky to have a little weep? Yeah. And here's what I want to
ask. I'm so sad, Bartha.
We agree on so many other things.
Listen to me now.
No, you listen to me first.
No, no.
You listen to me first.
I've heard you.
I'm not fair, but I'm not underconfident. Yeah, and I have a huge problem with how many advertisements link confidence to fair skin.
I'm telling you that basically, why do women want to have red lips? So they use lipstick. Why do women want to have bright eyes? So they use kajal. Why do women want to look fair? So they use Fair and Lovely. Which, by the way, I bring it up a little late. It was launched in 1970. No good that you brought it up 43 years later, but still, we'll forgive that.
So you're saying it's just another cosmetic?
They all want to be more confident.
Wiling confidence.
That is basically it.
I would even agree with you
if you said
some people like a dark complexion. Yeah. Some people like a fair complexion.
No.
It's a cosmetic
tool. Yeah.
You know, I remember this advertisement. I don't know whether you were the brain behind it, but there's a young girl who goes to do a job interview to be a sports broadcaster. Yeah. And she doesn't get the job. Then she comes back and she applies some Fair and Lovely. And she goes back in and she gets the job.
I'm against that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm against linking fairness to do with getting on in life other than being attractive.
So dark is not attractive. Nandita is not attractive.
No, 1 minute.
Nitra is not attractive. Mahesh is not attractive.
All right, let me give you an example. How would you like?
I'm not attractive.
Yes, you are, because you're wearing makeup for the light.
So you're saying to me that if you rub this war paint off, then I'd be ugly duckling.
No, no.
Okay,
no.
But I'd still stand here and ask you the same questions.
I would love you more. So okay. Let me just say that people want to look attractive. That's why many women, maybe some in this audience, are wearing padded bras. Why? I ask
okay,
you,
I'm going to get Nandita and Netra quickly in on that and then take it to Mahesh. Do you accept it's just another cosmetic device?
Firstly, I don't think it's a personal choice like many of the other things that you said.
Because
I think it's a societal attitude.
Pale lips, that's a personal choice.
It is nature, a personal choice.
Nature has given you pale lips.
Yeah, but
nature has given you eyes.
Bad or good looking.
You should know, being a model and one of the top models in India, how important it is to put on makeup. And that's the whole thing about
makeup. Okay, let me get Netra in now. Netra Raghuraman, do you believe in your experience that this is just like wearing lipstick or wearing concealer or wearing whatever else that people do, kajal? Is it really like that?
It isn't, because as far as I'm concerned, I grew up in this country with this skin color. And Nandita said, I've seen you a few shades darker, which means I must have been tanning myself in the sun with utter happiness. All through my school life and college life, I was told I was ugly. Not, you know, they said your eyebrows are strange, your face is strange, you're so dark. My parents made me believe that who I am is what I am, and
right.
I just need to be a good person.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
That built confidence.
More parents like
but
that.
I would never go out there and think of myself as even remotely beautiful till I did a contest, and I was an utter surprise that I won. I was like, really me? And then I turned up in Milan and Nice, and people would swoon at me. It took me that trip to come back to India and say, geez, I'm good looking. Till then, the whole idea of you're this color and you're just beautiful doesn't exist.
Yeah. Alec, I just don't get your comparison with lipstick. Nobody tells you if you don't wear lipstick that you're ugly. But if you're
they say you're ill, you're sick.
Of course they don't.
You take off your kajal and people will say you are looking sick.
Nandita wanted to come in there.
Yeah. I want to say, isn't there a difference between a personal choice
and
a societal prejudice?
Yes.
That kind of almost doesn't give you a choice. I mean, there's a notional choice. Of course, finally, it's up to each one of us to use or not use a fairness cream.
That's right. But so if you're feeling unconfident, then those people who are dark and want to be confident use a fairness cream. What the hell?
Okay,
just as if you got pale lips, you use
a lipstick. Societal pressure, the aspiration, the mindset.
How can you not be concerned? That's what creates it.
I'm not worried about that. When you're cockeyed, aren't you made fun of in school?
Should you be made fun
of
in school?
No, you shouldn't. So you should go to a
doctor. So you're saying dark people are like cockeyed people?
No. Yes. In a sense, yes.
All right, Mahesh, as somebody who's also in the business of advertising and making films, you have refused to make ad films for fairness products. Why is that?
A couple of things here. One is, I mean, we're mixing up a few things. One is a prejudice that we have in this country. Whether you want to call it a racist bias or whatever you want to call it. It is a bias. Okay.
Isn't it racist?
Well, I would call it discriminatory.
Shakespeare said it. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon that thou, Juliet, her maid, art far more fair than she. 500 years ago.
Sorry, Netra?
500 years ago.
Shakespeare lived in England. They die for like 3 minutes of sun. We live in India. We drown in the sun.
And
that is lovely.
Fair.
And what about Lord Krishna while we're quoting Shakespeare? But anyway, Mahesh.
Was he black or was he blue?
He was not fair.
Yes.
He was not fair.
That's why.
So you're now saying blue is preferable to black?
Yes.
Okay, let Mahesh.
I think there's a couple of issues being mixed up. One is the prejudice that we all have in this country. When I say we all, I'm being inclusive of the,
all of
as
us.
A nation speaking with regret. The other is communication that is used.
Yeah.
And that's the question you asked me. Why do I refuse to participate in that? One is because I don't want to be part of cementing this sort of prejudice and worse still, a discrimination that happens. My problem with people not liking fair or dark or anything is you take it a step further, it becomes discrimination. And you take discrimination a step further, it becomes all kinds of things like segregation.
How do you counter the loaded word called choice when it comes to this debate? Because what you'll hear a lot of people saying is, hey, it's people's choice.
There is a law against female feticide.
Yeah.
That's a choice. Why is there a law against it? There are some things where you know, laws have to step in, nations have to step in, societies have to decide for societies as a whole. It's not individual choice all the time. You know?
Yeah. Dr. Rajesh Parekh, as a psychiatrist who also counsels couples along with Dr. Firoza Parekh, who come to use IVF to have babies, one has read, and I don't know if this is true, that the obsession with fairness is so deep that people will actually come and say, we want a fair baby. Does this really happen?
It does from time to time. But if you'll pardon a minor digression,
yes.
Alec had this beautiful quote from Romeo and Juliet. I'm not into theater, Alec, but one of the loveliest sonnets that Shakespeare wrote was to somebody who was very dark complexioned. The entire sonnet is considered to be one of the most beautiful sonnets.
Yes,
I'm sure you could recite that with tremendous flair for all of us, and you know it by heart. And I do see a link between what all of us are saying here, but yes, people do talk about wanting a fair baby, particularly when it's a donor embryo, and they do ask. Two things over here. It's one amongst a constellation of attributes that the couple is interested in. For instance, they want to know the educational profile, the professional status, the medical history, what the family is like, the height, sometimes even the weight, and of course, along with that, the complexion. The heartening trend over there is that it is no longer on the top of the list.
It's coming down. Yeah. But is it true that somebody came to you and said they want a Caucasian donor because they want a fair baby?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people ask that, but it can, and it's happened only on one occasion though, get a little more ridiculous than that. Recently, I think about a year and a half ago, we had a couple which was not infertile at all. They were perfectly capable of having their baby. The only reason why they were seeking
IVF
fertility
treatment or fertility
assistance
treatment,
was to get a Caucasian donor.
Okay, now Alec, isn't this a kind of sickness? There's no other word for it.
Why are you mixing up things? I'm saying
why? This is how deep the obsession with fairness
runs. Or let me give you a matrimonial ad that I'd like to see run. Wanted, fair, ugly girl, and another one that says wanted dark beautiful girl. And which one would win?
These are like oxymorons, like Netra was saying, beautiful because beautiful is equated, or fairness
is equated with beauty.
Okay, here's I have the answer here. Jeevansathi.com says 71% marriages initiated by women are towards grooms who have mentioned their skin type is fair. 70% men register on matrimonial websites put their color as fair. Boys who mention skin color as fair receive 5 times more of a response. Mahesh, what do we make of this? Where does this come from? I mean, Alec can turn around and say Lord Krishna is blue, but the fact is that he was not a fair-skinned god. Kali, the goddess, these are not fair-skinned. We have worshipped dark gods and goddesses. It's not that we always place this high premium on fairness. We are a brown skin society.
India is not really fair. There are fair people in sector.
No, and while we're about it, I'd like to congratulate you on starting this Dark is Beautiful. I think it's a wonderful campaign. I would like to start another one, and I'll start it this time, which is Old is Beautiful. How about that?
Sure.
Absolutely. Why not? You're congratulating them, but you're actually totally disagreeing with her.
There's a prejudice against cock-eyed people. There's a prejudice against anything.
You have people who come to you and say, we want to be fairer. As a doctor, would you help them do that?
In India, when they come to me and say fair, they actually mean two things. One is some people have pigmentation, dark circles, black spots, acne marks. So for them, pigmentation means I'm dark, make me fair. That's fair. You know, they want to just even out their skin tone. But they don't understand.
Isn't that a euphemism?
No.
It's just a euphemism,
no,
isn't
no,
it?
No, no,
it's now become the politically correct terminology for gora.
No.
I want a gora skin.
Some people genuinely have pigmentation, patches on their skin, which is not attractive.
Yeah.
They just want to even it out, make their skin look more even. Then you have another segment of people who are perfectly fine, fair, good-looking even, and they say, make us fairer. Whether it's society, whether it's for marriage, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's industry that they're in. In fact, recently I had a guy who came and asked me, give me fairness injections. I've read it on the internet. I want it. Will you give it to me?
And what did you say?
It's not FDA approved. We don't know what the side effects are. If I give it to you in the form of injection and something happens to you, who's going to be liable?
But you don't have a problem as a doctor encouraging this kind of prejudice?
It's not encouraging. You're helping the patient if there is a problem. Today, if not me, they're going to go to somebody else. At least I can do to the best of my ability to help them with their problem. But yes, if somebody comes in who's perfectly fine, who doesn't have pigmentation, who just wants to be fairer, it's about setting their expectations and telling them, you know, you look perfectly fine. And I have done that to patients.
Dr. Parikh, what do you tell people who come to you with this obsession?
You know, there's no one answer which would fit everybody. It depends on the specific couple's needs.
Yeah.
And first of all, I think it's very important, not just as physicians, but for all of us not to get very judgmental about this. And
aren't there some things in life we should be judgmental about?
Perhaps, but
like
Mahesh
said, female feticide, child marriage, beating your wife.
Absolutely, but I don't.
Sexual abuse.
Absolutely, but I don't put it in the same domain as sexual abuse and beating your wife.
No, sure.
Actually, there was a question that you asked earlier, Barkha, which set me thinking, and that's what I was thinking about when you kind of asked me this, and that was, why is this happening? And I think if we understand that first, perhaps we might be able to understand the kind of work that advertising agencies are doing. Because at the end of the day, they are professionals like doctors, like you, like anybody else, and they are performing a certain service. And if that need did not exist to begin with, perhaps they wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
So historically, races that are Caucasian have overpowered darker races. This is what, say, happened in our continent. They brought with them their myths, and their stories prevailed because they were the victors. And in their stories, the gods looked like them. They were fairer. And the evil people looked like the people they vanquished. There had to be a rationale for destroying entire races, a kind of a genocide.
But in our own mythology, that is not true. And by the way, even looking at the West, the world's most powerful man today, arguably, if you consider the American president the world's most powerful man, is black.
Absolutely.
Michelle Obama.
It took a while for him to come.
On the other hand,
while it not be, might be entirely true, we still have the language of white as purity, of black as evil, that percolates through our consciousness. And actually, I see a very interesting link between, you know, both the campaigns. There's a very interesting link. If there is a prevalent social norm that says that a certain attribute is attractive, a large number of people are going to want that. That's into our DNA. It's genetically programmed into us. That into all species, not just us, mammalian species, that you would want to conform with the prevalent norm.
So it's
of
a conformist instinct.
And at its extreme ends, you see that in Africa, where women distort their necks to make them long. Some time ago, until many, many years ago, Chinese women, for example, thought that having a small foot was a very attractive attribute. And the Japanese and the Chinese, and you know, feet were distorted with orthopedic problems. But again, and that's why I say that's the link with what Nandita is doing, that as that has changed, as people have moved towards highlighting the dangers of that, that trend goes away.
Veena Gowda is a feminist lawyer and scholar. How do women especially, because while men are joining this bandwagon, the pressure is definitely more on women. The pressure to be a fair bride, the pressure to, you know, to be, even in film songs, and maybe Nandita can speak a little bit about that, it's gori-gori. And gori-gori is the pretty girl. Doesn't there come a time when you have to question that conformist discourse? Because that conformism is often prejudicial.
Yes, of course it is. And I wish I could say color was skin deep. It also impacts the kind of choices we make in life. I am a dark person. Do I think I'm entitled to a fair, to marry a fair, fairer person? I am dark, therefore I'm not attractive, I'm ugly. Therefore, am I entitled to marry someone who's more successful?
Yeah.
Or can I get into certain service, sectors?
Yeah.
I think that's the little difficulty that I have in the campaign of Black is Beautiful. While I, of course, know where it comes from.
What is your difficulty? You're saying it's a counter-pressure.
Again, you're going into these restricted, limited definitions of beautiful. Can we say it's okay to be how I am? I'm different, but I'm equal. Today we're discussing issue of the color of the skin. It could be how tall I am, how thin, how fat I am.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say a fair bride, I mean, you see people starving themselves to death before a marriage. So the question is that I do understand when when the Black Americans started this movement in 1940s. But today when we're talking about it in 2013, can we at least talk about it a little differently?
Shouldn't the focus, I mean, I know that there's sometimes you need a rhetorical slogan to counter an existing prejudice, and therefore I understand dark is beautiful, but Veena takes it a step further to say that isn't the emphasis on just being comfortable in your own skin?
I absolutely agree. In fact, when this campaign came to me and, you know, they said stay unfair,
yeah,
and I had in fact said, can't we just say stay natural?
Yeah.
And they said, no, but because the person, Kavita Emmanuel, who started this campaign, whom I've never met except on the email, she said because it was more reactionary. If you said dark is also beautiful, then you're too apologetic.
Yeah.
If you say only dark is beautiful, that's not true either. So you're just saying dark is beautiful.
Why is beauty defined as, you know, someone who's fair, someone who's slim? All these marriage ads now.
But Alec, you're the one making all these ads.
What?
You're the one making all these ads.
I didn't make any ads about anything to do with dark is ugly. Never. Never.
There was a tagline, Kale ko gora bana do.
No, no.
There was a tagline
that
I was pulled
off. What I'm saying is, why can't we have a campaign led by you which says ugly is beautiful?
So what does that mean to Nandita? What do you say?
No, I'm saying started by you because you're good at starting campaigns. Why are people
judged by beauty?
Why fairness is only an adjunct of beauty? The whole prejudice is we think of people as beautiful
and ugly. Okay, Netra's wanting to come in and Nakul.
That is the point.
Once again. Netra's wanting to come in. Netra.
Yes. You know, the only thing I want to say is if you give it 10 years and you repeat the same thing again and again to society, society will start conforming towards that. So
yeah,
if you say thin is not in, you don't have to be anorexic,
yeah,
you don't have to be thin, you need to be a full-bodied woman. 10 years down the line, that will be considered the concept of
you
beauty.
You can create a new conformity.
As thin, you would be ugly.
So these artificial social constructs is where the problem begins.
And
but
that is created a lot by advertising because they create a perception and that hits at self-esteem.
Talking of ads, everyone from Shah Rukh Khan to John Ibrahim and Nakul Mehta's in that ad with Shah Rukh Khan being this man who wants to be a superstar and he can't be it till he gets a fairer skin. You're actually made to look darker than you are in that ad.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so
why did you do that ad?
So, before that, I...
before that, that's a good question, but...
Alec, you want to answer that? Why did you do that ad?
So, before that...
Why did you do it?
Sorry?
Why did you do it?
I wanted to hang out with Shah Rukh. But, you know, I think the bigger issue for me is, why do we, as a society, label people? Why do we say, mota hai, patli hai, gora hai, kali hai? And I think, you know, what's surprisingly, when the production team called me for the show, my first question was, do you want me to be on this because the society thinks I'm fair? It's strange, but you know, being a fair person in this country, I have faced a lot of bias.
What?
It is ridiculous. I am an actor, and until I think 2000, a lot of people told me, you can't be a popular mainstream actor in this country because you have light eyes, you look fair, you don't look Indian enough. Till a film came.
Nandita's not believing you.
Please.
No, believe me. I'll give you stories. I cast
like
it.
The majority.
Wait till he puts up a matrimonial ad.
I am married already, so that won't happen. But I've had casting directors tell me that you're too fair to play this part. Or can you speak Hindi because they judge me by the way I look and I'm as Indian as anybody in this room.
Then Hrithik Roshan and Aamir Khan's and...
Luckily, so after 2000, once Hrithik came with this film, the light-eyed concept got broken because... So I worked on a South Indian film and me and Netra were talking about it. I've done a Telugu film. They asked me to look 10 shades darker because according to them, you know, I look like the quintessential villain for them who's come from like the US.
So you're seeing this reverse discrimination.
As well, which so...
Yeah, there's discrimination everywhere. I have an actress in Bengal and she told me one of the problems is she's a Bengali. And she's not cast in Bengali film because she's very fair.
Casting is a different thing. Every actor's right or not right for a particular character.
Yeah.
So I mean, Aishwarya Rai may not be right for a particular character. I may not be right for a particular character. That's different. We are talking about discrimination. We are talking about where you cannot get, say, a job or you're not, you know, get a husband or a lover or, you know.
I'm just going to start taking voices from the audience. But Mahesh, I want to ask you a question. Would you go so far as to say that fairness products should be banned? After all, there are countries where, for example, taxes on cigarettes are always increased to discourage people from smoking. Liquor cannot be advertised except through surrogate advertising. Yet fairness products have no such restrictions.
Absolutely, yes. I believe if you're going to allow somebody to make a product, it is really unfair not to allow them to advertise it and sell it.
Yeah, but would you support a ban on the product?
Not the support, I'll start a campaign for it.
Support a ban on fairness products?
Yep.
Let's put that to the audience. Those of you who think fairness products should be banned,
Raise your hand. Why do you think that?
Well, it's already been established that there's no concept of beauty or no concept of perfect etched in stone. It's just... I actually have a question from Mr. Padamsi.
Yeah.
Have you chosen to jump on that fairness obsession bandwagon for the money? Or have you realize that you do have some responsibility to maybe steer people away and put some sense into them?
No, I have no responsibility to steer people away.
Why?
I do not say anything wrong with fairness. You are saying fairness, in a sense, should be banned. Just all the people who raise their hands saying fairness products should be banned were all fair, by the way.
Okay. Here's somebody
who's
not.
He's a prejudiced person already.
Once again, let's get him in. And he says you're prejudiced.
Well, yes, I am. I've grown up with a very deep prejudice that I was dark, my brother is fair. I didn't swim, I didn't play sports because I was so conscious trying not to be darker than I already am.
Yeah.
It's only in the last few years that I'm feeling that I shouldn't be. I'm proud of the fact that I'm dark. And Nandita, thanks for Nandita.
Good, I'm glad you're proud.
I
had a prejudice against swimming because my eyes used
but
to
But Alec, now it has been
so
proved.
What?
No, but Alec, it has now been proved that continuous use of these products gives you skin cancer.
Yep.
No product.
We can ask a doctor there, and I'm saying that
yes,
we
ask,
are using we are exploiting a weak.
No, those are different products which have been banned in India.
Okay, one second.
Can I just add something?
Can I just finish asking him something?
Leave.
You're saying A, you grew up with a complex of your own. Why?
Very deep complex, because I am darker than my brother. And of course, you know...
And did that ever make you want to be with a fair girl?
Not really.
Well,
I really...
With a fair girl.
I know he's with Nandita.
No,
that's why I'm asking. I'm just wondering.
No, not really. Actually, I have not been with a girl. I was so conscious of not even going out and suggesting to a girl for a date because I didn't think they would ever say yes.
And that's where I have a problem with these products. You raised your hand saying, your hand saying that fairness products should be banned.
I did. I'm a makeup artist. And when I sit with young women and men who have such deep, complex insecurities, some I've met who have considered suicide, I become quite emotional about it and passionate, especially when I see all these fantastically, lovely young Indians here and with such a fragile psyche that you're talking about the future of India here, the next sort of 20 years, and, you're slapping their faces, really.
I know people who've had leukoderma, that is patches on the skin, and have considered suicide.
Aren't you trivializing?
No.
Alec, when you have Shah Rukh Khan, John Abraham go to, propagate fairness at a young age, it's a very impressionable age.
We're not propagating fairness. What
are.
The product is saying is, if you want to be fair, we have a product that can make you fair.
Nandita, would you support a ban on fairness products?
I would support it.
You would support a ban?
Support it when it links itself to success, to low self-esteem, to being accepted by people.
Dr. Bishnadi,
Firstly, lived in the UK for 6 years.
Yeah.
They're obsessed with brown skin. I was considered a goddess over there. We always want what we don't have. We think fair is beautiful. They think brown is beautiful. Oh, look at my skin. It's so pasty, doctor.
Yeah.
Can I get some color in it? And they'll go tan themselves or sit in, on a sunbed because they want color. They like, for them, color is beautiful.
But that's
more cosmetic. Fair skin people, they call it pale or whatever, but they don't suffer from low self-esteem.
I think in India, we take it to another extreme, but I think Indians generally take things to another extreme. Oh, you're fat? Oh, you've lost weight. Oh, how come your paunch is showing? It's none of your business. We like to make everything our business.
Sorry, Netra.
It's advertising. It's not fair to add success equals to fair skin.
I think that's exactly the problem with the product. Now, while we've had many people saying ban products, let's also hear the real stories of people who actually are willing to undergo anything to get fairer. I have here a doctor couple, Geeta and Dr. Venkateshwara, sitting next to me, and they are somebody who actually went through medical treatment to become fairer. Geeta, you're from which state?
I'm from Andhra, basically.
You're from Andhra?
Yeah.
And after you got married, I believe that you decided to undergo some treatment to get fairer skin. Why was that?
See, what happened, while doing my MBBS graduation, so usually my family looks for a guy.
Okay, then?
So that guy straight away refused because I was Kali.
He said that to
He
you.
Said that to me.
So you then, must have felt very bad.
No, I didn't feel very bad because that time I was not that much,
into marriage.
Because I want a guy like this.
Okay, so you had so you were rejected initially.
Yes,
because he called you Kali.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
right.
After that what happened?
After marriage I came to Bombay and then I started doing my post-graduation in San Hospital. Hmm. And again the same guy met me after 5 to 6 years. And whenever your classmate meets you after a long time, what would be the first question he will ask? How are you, no?
Yeah.
Then he asked straight away, how you became so gory?
But why did you, what treatment did you undergo?
I did my regular treatment like cleansing, toning, moisturizing. It was not purposely, but because in my face, my pimples were very much, that's it.
But did you put pressure on her to become fair?
No, never, never. Because she becomes very fair, then I'll be rejected. So, see, for me, at the time of marriage, my only condition was I would like to marry a doctor. I didn't bother about anything much. See, when I saw her, that I saw that she had pimples and so many things.
But that's even different from being Kali and Gori. No?
Yeah, and they had blackheads and all. So I knew these are reversible changes. You know, after a period
You're
of time.
You're a dermatologist.
Yeah, skin specimen. So I knew this would be reversible. These are not going to be permanent. So I didn't mind about all that. I was only looking whether the person is MBBS and capable.
But way. I have to ask you a question. Do you have children?
Yes.
Do you have a daughter?
Yeah, two daughters.
I hope you don't tell her that you're Kali or Gori or something like that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But this is interesting that you live with these scars, that the first man, Dr. Parekh, if you will come in there, on the psychological impact. See, we're being judgmental, and there I slightly agree with Alec that there are a number of us who can afford to not give a damn. Because we have other empowerments, we have the privilege of education, we have the privilege of jobs, we have the privilege of self-confidence. Many people are under the kind of societal pressures that they can't afford to get moralistic about. And which is where I kind of hear what Mahesh is saying. That if you allow these products and this discrimination to flourish, then choice is a very false word in this debate.
To an extent, Barkha, but I'm not sure whether an extreme step such as banning these products is going to get us anywhere. You'll drive them underground, the prices will go up. Perhaps one way to deal with it, and perhaps the dermatologists here might be able to help us through this, is, I mean, you can quite easily, I think, get them on false advertising. Because to the best of my knowledge, other than bleaches, which we've seen already harmful,
nothing
there are no products
change,
which you can just apply in your house and wake up in the morning and become, you know, Shah Rukh Khan or... there are no such products.
Nakul, do you agree with that? That ad you did?
Right.
Did you become Shah Rukh Khan?
No, not at all. Not
but
at
he
all.
Might, he might.
But he might.
But I actually completely agree with him. I think the solution is not to ban the product because I think this bias existed even, you know... 50 years back, my grandmother wanted a fair grandchild. And there was no pushy advertising. There was no Alec Padamsi to make ads for us.
That doesn't make it all right.
Mahesh?
Listen, my grandparents might have been biased. That doesn't make it right.
If you ban the product, what about the millions and millions of people who look towards a fairness product to make them fair because they're suffering from prejudice?
Prejudice pre-exists the product is what Alec is saying.
What about a poor couple who doesn't want to have a child who's a girl because they will have to pay dowry.
Yeah.
What do you have to say
How
about
many
that?
Prejudice
that predates all of these conversations.
Exactly. Yeah. Netra, you want to come in then?
Just banning a
do
product?
Ban
no. When you ban a product, the advertising changes. Because advertising changes, perception changes. The way
so you'll support the ban?
I will say, yeah, if you
it's
can.
Like no, unless no. You can. It's like saying, why are we sitting here and talking about it? Because it's not going to change anything in any case. Because we believe that every drop counts.
Yeah.
This campaign is not going to change the mindset, but it's triggering a conversation.
I agree with you.
I think that there is a problem with language of ban itself. And I do agree that it predates the product. So therefore, I don't think that will, unless there is a social change, because it is not only racial, it's casteist, it's classist. Because in India, we believe that being fair is also a
upper caste
and upper class. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, at least I come from a community where people don't even say dark or fair. They say either you have color or you have no color.
Before I come back to the panel, let's just take a little more from the audience.
Yes. See, I'm a doctor. I get a lot of patients who come and tell me that just make me fair. I say them on day one, I cannot make you fair. I can only remove your tan, which you have. acne and other patches what you have, only that can be removed.
So it's the falseness that is propagating your question?
It's not about, of course there are advertisements and all of that, but all that they propagate is about being, you know, how discrimination is happening. So what I really feel is it's about not being discriminated.
But the point is that how do you avoid the prejudice?
Please ask all the dark people in India whether they'd like to ban fairness creams.
How many people here?
Dark people. No, dark people.
Dark complexion.
Dark people.
No, but like
dark complexion would like to have a fairness product
but
banned.
But it can be more nuanced. Ban. What Veena said was that yes, ban. There is an issue with just saying ban it.
Yes.
We are saying ban regressive advertising. Yeah. Ban discriminatory advertising.
Okay. Can we hear from somebody who's actually written about this feeling?
My name is Tabitha and I run a blog that's called Not Fair Yet Lovely. Because I believe you can be not fair and yet you can be lovely. I recently chanced upon this documentary, which is what got me thinking about all of this. This came out in 2011 and it's titled Dark Girls. The most troubling part for me in that entire documentary was there was this part where they have a toddler who is a black toddler. She's sitting there with five babies, all right? These are pictures. They're drawn pictures of five babies, all of them colored in different shades. And she's asked very simple questions like, which is the pretty baby? And she shows the whitest one. Which is the ugly baby? She shows the darkest one. And then they ask her, why do you think she's ugly? And she says, because she's black. This is a child who's 1.5 or 2 years old. Somebody has driven that stereotype into
Absolutely.
Her when she is that young.
That's a fair
What's the kind of life she's going to have?
In Hindi, we say, rang saaf nahi hai.
Yeah.
You know, it means, yeah.
Nita, have you ever faced deep discrimination?
No, you know, like I said, I mean, it was never brown, me being the skin color that I am. I was never considered beautiful growing up. My parents did. I don't think society did. It took me a trip outside the country where, like Harshna just said, everyone out there was like, oh my God, your skin is so fantastic. And it tells you, oh my God, my skin is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's
and I think what
a
we
perception
forget.
Perception that's created.
And I think what we forget is how cruel it can be for women, especially in marriages sometimes, how much of a barb it is. And I'm going to hear the story of this young girl here who actually, there were many, many frictions in her marriage. But one of the things that Minhaz was constantly told was that she was not fair enough. Aap bataye ki aap shadi shuda the aur aapke saath bura bartav kiya jata tha. Lekin aapko ye bhi bola jata tha ki aap gori nahi hai. Iske baare mein bata.
मेरे गोरे रंग की वजह से ही मुझे बहुत परेशान किया गया. हर चीज़ से लेके कपड़े से लेके खाने पीने से लेके बहुत परेशान किया गया. मुझे मारा भी गया, पीटा भी गया. और
क्या बोलते थे
कि तुम काली हो, तुम्हारे घर वालों ने तुम्हारे रंग की वजह से तुमको ज्यादा दहेज देना चाहिए था.
तो मिराज भाई, ये इन्होंने पहले शादी क्यों की? फिर बाद में ताने देते थे इस तरह से, तो आपने क्या बोला फिर?
जी, उस लड़के की पहले एक शादी हो चुकी थी
जी,
दोबारा शादी मेरी बच्ची के साथ में. तो हमने भी देखा लड़का अच्छा कमाता है, सऊदी रिटर्न है, तो हमने शादी कर दिया उसके साथ.
फिर गोरे ना होने पे ताने होने शुरू हो गए.
25 अप्रैल को शादी हुई है और 8 मई को उन लोगों ने ताने देना शुरू कर दिया बच्ची के साथ में. बहुत परेशान.
और दहेज की बात की?
दहेज की बात तो कई मरतबा उन लोगों ने किया है.
क्या उम्र है आपकी?
20.
और आपको ताने देते थे अपने रंग के बारे में, तो आपने क्या बोला उनको?
मैंने बोला कि मुझे जीने का हक नहीं है, कि अगर मेरा कलर काला है तो क्या मैं जी नहीं सकती हूँ मेरे कलर की वजह से. तो लोग का कहना था ये देख के, काली हो तो तुम अपने घर से सब कुछ लेकर आना चाहिए था, हर चीज अपने मतलब फेयरनेस का गोरी पन के आना चाहिए था तुमको.
उसकी पहली वाइफ बहुत गोरी थी,
खूबसूरत थी.
पहली वाइफ गोरी?
बहुत खूबसूरत.
आप खूबसूरत क्यों कह रहे हैं? आपको नहीं लगता आप खूबसूरत हैं?
मुझे लगता है कि मैं खूबसूरत हूँ, पर जिनको देखना चाहिए उनको नहीं दिखता है, तो मैं क्या कर सकती हूँ इसमें.
डॉक्टर पारिक, या it is horrible to hear how self-esteem can just be crushed based on you're not fair. Yeah.
But this is before fairness creams came in.
Oh, no.
Everyone in India is prejudiced. Every family has been prejudiced against a dark baby. What the fairness people are saying is, we can help you to get fairer if you want to.
So you're saying that this girl should now apply fairness cream and go back to this horrible man?
No. Not go back to a horrible man, go back to a good man. What's wrong with that?
Dr. Pat. Why should she conform to somebody else's idea
why
of beauty about her?
Why can't we all be without prejudice? That's impossible.
Okay, Dr. Pat, human being and without prejudice. Dr. Pat.
Alec, I'd like to believe that the scope of our presence here and our discussion here is beyond just fairness creams.
Yes.
It extends into something which makes it possible to market fairness creams.
Yes.
So if
makes
we're looking.
It necessary, not possible. Possibly. So there are a lot of dark people who don't want this prejudice, okay. So they buy fairness creams.
Okay, that's whichever right. way we look at it. If it's necessary,
that is a very important
if it's
decision.
Necessary, it's even more tragic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the cardinal intellectual sin is oversimplification. So
agreed.
If we are going to look at one simple solution,
yeah,
okay,
agreed.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a combination, a multi-pronged approach which is going to work. And sometimes, something that none of us can predict will work. To give you an example, the government did everything possible to bring the population down. They had
yeah.
huge advertising campaigns.
Yeah.
They had medical campaigns. They had coercive techniques, a few decades ago. What really worked, which is now called the Kerala model across the world, is education of women. So I think some factors like this, empowering women in the country, so that, you know, their looks do not become the
I
factor
agree
that
mere pedantics will not work either.
Absolutely.
when the discrimination is deep. I have to start taking last comments, but we'll take a few more questions from the audience.
I'm a dermatologist, and I'd like to say that when my daughter was born, she was dark. Everyone who came to the hospital was horrified to see her, and that was the expression I got. When she was 1 year old, the neighbor's child who was 9 years old came and told me, Auntie, I cannot play with your daughter. She's very dark. But from the time 2 years old, when she was a little older, I started telling her, brown is, you are a lovely chocolate color. Anyone who tells you that you are dark, you have to tell them, I'm a lovely chocolate color. And every patient who comes and tells me, I want to become fair, I first counsel them.
Yeah. I think, and I'm glad you do that. Let's take a question.
Two things I'm hearing. One is choices, and second is we are like this for ages. But our grandparents also wanted only boys. Then why we are talking about female femicide? Let's also, why don't give the choices to the parents that you can have only boys? Why deprive them of that choice?
How far are you going to push choice?
I like the Kerala experiment where women are educated and women start changing people's attitudes and prejudices.
Okay, let's take a question.
When white people want to use bronzers and become tan, when white people want us to become fair, who are y'all to tell us to become fair or become whatever? And let me tell you one more thing, sir. Your campaign, Ugly is Beautiful. Let me tell you one thing. We all are beautiful, and ugly is mentality, not people.
That's right.
Well said. Well said. I think we
That's
all agree.
That's a very nice sentiment, but I wish you could sell people on that.
Okay.
Easy to clap on easy solutions. If this crowd believes ugly is beautiful, please raise your hand.
What is ugly?
It's what you think is ugly and what he thinks is ugly and what he thinks
is
ugly.
Why should anyone think of themselves as ugly?
Why don't we ban the word ugly?
You are being a sophist. You are not answering my question. What is ugly?
What is ugly
is what
somebody says, I don't like your looks. That's the reason 90% of the men in this audience have got married on, let me tell you.
Okay, let me put a question to this audience.
Yes,
and let's try and be honest. Are there young boys here who are going to say they want to marry somebody who's fair? Okay, yeah, sure, I heard here.
Yes, that's true. And I'll marry you. I would prefer a fairer girl.
You're going to say chick. You're going to say chick.
But it wouldn't be a deal breaker. It's just a preference. It wouldn't be a deal breaker. Also, my problem with the word beautiful is, I mean, the prejudice is that fair people are beautiful. That's perfectly fine. But why do you have to say that if you're dark, you're beautiful too? Because when you say beautiful, you mean physical attributes. So fine, you're not beautiful. Deal with it. There's intellect.
Hang on. Are you saying... Okay, hang on. How old are you?
I'm 19.
You believe only fair girls are beautiful?
No, I'm saying you need to teach people that it's fine not to be beautiful. Instead of saying, oh, even you're beautiful, you're dark.
So, okay. Who wants to answer him? Nakul.
we need to have a chat after this.
But
I am not surprised. You know, I have this very close friend who's very well educated. And he wants to get married, and his first priority, so he's not got married for the last 4 years, he's getting an arranged marriage. And I asked him, what are you looking for? And the first thing he says is, I want a fair girl. I said, why? He said, because I am dark and my parents think that if I get a fair girl, you know, we'll have a fair kid.
Yeah.
And he's an educated, well-to-do kid, studied.
Okay, you're saying in your defense?
It's a preference. I didn't say it's a deal breaker.
Veena?
No, I think he's not wrong, in a way. in the sense that if you say that, tell people that it's okay that you're not beautiful.
No, you know what? His first sentence is not a problem. No, his second sentence is that if you're dark, deal with the fact that you're not beautiful. That's
no,
what
I mean, that of course
I'm
is problematic.
Saying physical beauty is not important, so instead of telling them.
No, you just said you want to marry a fine chick. And Nitha just said chicks are yellow, they're not fair.
You know, that society will always have aspirational...
Okay, Veena.
You know, that society will always have aspirational, guidelines, whatever, that to teach people that it's okay and don't be judgmental about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
all
you
right,
can look at it like
Why advertise when the prejudice is already existing? Why can't we not do it? And why are we encouraging it? Why does a brand like L'Oreal have a skin lightening cream for India and not in any other part of the world? Can L'Oreal dare put up a billboard in USA saying that lighten your skin and not have being objected to by the black population there? Won't they be considered racist there?
Yes.
Okay.
L'Oreal has ads that say, would you like a tan? We have a product that will give you a tan in Europe. Got it?
Okay. You don't have a mic.
The opposite is true, as you said.
Yeah, your question?
Okay, Alec, you found a supporter now. As a marketing student, I know that the problem is not with the products being advertised. The problem is that people have the need for it. And like somebody was saying that, we don't have the same concept in US. I've seen my family members applying papite ka chilko on their face, malai on their face. Nobody endorses it. So the problem is with the psyche of the people. You need to, tell those people.
How?
By campaigns. But you can't do it by banning these products. You have substitutes, local substitutes for them.
Nitra.
Malai and papaya doesn't turn you fair. It gives you good skin. There's a difference between getting good skin being brown and turning white, which is what a lot of fairness products have. Time and again, we read the fairness products have bleaching products in them.
Bleaching is to be banned.
I have an issue.
She's saying.
I'm a therapist and, he's a psychiatrist. I'm sure he'll agree. The adverse effect it has on one's esteem, attaching worth to any form of physical attribute, I think is bull.
Okay, I have to take last comments. Dr. Vijlani, where would you draw the line with your patients when they come for a cosmetic? Because I want to ask you a question. In the age of not just waxing, but Botox, facelifts, liposuction, all the rest of this, which are all artificial interventions. Where do you draw the line?
As a doctor, it's very difficult. If a patient comes to you and says that they want to look younger, they want to be, they want to get rid of the wrinkles, you do it for them. That's what they want. Having said that, if somebody says, I want to become fairer, and there's nothing wrong with them, you need to tell them, look, there's nothing I can help you with. You're beautiful the way you are. And if you're going to lose the patient, you're going to lose the patient. But other things, if they want to come to you for, it's fine.
Okay, let's take a question here.
I agree with Mr. Alec. You are calling me prejudiced because I prefer fair skin. Now, if he had said that I want to marry a girl based on if she's dark, the audience would have clapped. But because he said, I want a fair girl, you are calling him prejudiced. Now,
you're saying it's reverse?
Yeah, it's reverse discrimination.
Yeah. No, actually what I want to ask is, why do we want to say anything is beautiful? Let people choose for themselves.
In the ideal world, yes.
It's a very open thing. I mean, I might prefer someone dusky. She might prefer someone fair. So, by confining the idea of beauty to a particular, whatever.
Nandita, you've said you hate the word dusky. Why is that?
Actually, I didn't say that. It was misquoted in front of the media. I said that invariably every article of mine begins with dark and dusky Nandita, earthy Nandita.
The media.
The fact that there is a need constantly to define that aspect of my identity. And I said, when you write about Kareena or Aishwarya, I don't say fair because why am I today
from
the film world?
They're never prefaced with any other adjective.
Why am I the face of this campaign even though I didn't start or any of that?
Yeah.
Because there aren't any dark women in the industry. Where are those images of dark women? Even the actresses who were darker, let's say, 10 films ago. Now, if you see their films, they've all become fair. Yeah.
Nakul, you wanted
to
add to that?
There are no representatives.
I have to really start ending here.
Color is always related to poor people already shown always as black. Why can't you always show a white kid as a poor kid in India?
That has happened to me when I do a character which is upper middle class or educated. That's when the makeup man or the director would say, I know you don't like to put makeup and all of that, but it would really be nice if you could lighten your skin because this is an affluent character.
Wow.
So this is an urban character because this is an educated character.
Is it true that you once rang up an agency for domestic help and you were told we have somebody, but would you mind if she's dark? Did this actually happen?
everywhere. I've seen it in, I mean, we all see in airlines.
Yeah.
There are white women we see as receptionists, headhunters, you ask them. But I was also quite shocked when even in a maid agency,
yeah,
they said that, you know.
This has, yeah, to be the last question. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How does Fair and Lovely help Virat Kohli win matches?
Okay. How does Fair and Lovely help Virat Kohli win matches? How does Fair and Lovely get anyone a job?
No, Fair and Lovely cannot get you a job and cannot help him with matches. He's in the sun. The reason I don't know about that ad, but he's in the sun. So Fair and Lovely helps him recover his natural skin. By the way, let me tell all of you what fairness creams do is return you to the skin you were born with. That's all.
Likas, a brown-skinned woman, a dark woman would use Fair and Lovely because somehow it's going to return her to fair skin.
Everyone is, I am a theatre director. And I can tell you the reason fairness is worshipped is it's not to do with fairness, it's to do with brightness. The reason is that if you wear a light makeup, your features are much clearer. That's why when Kabir Bedi, who is half English and half Indian, half Punjabi, when he played in my Othello in 1990, what happened was he was wearing a dark makeup and Desdemona was obviously fair and she was a blonde girl. So what we had to do was to shine a spotlight on Kabir on stage because audience complaints were, we cannot see his expression.
So if Obama was on stage, you so can't see his expressions. Come on, for God's sake.
No. It's the truth. Ask anyone.
I was a white man for Santosh Shivan film.
Okay,
and there were no issues. But when I do an Indian film where there's a white, I've been given this example often.
Yeah.
You just say,
I
have
to end Dr. Parikh. The stage
These
is reality.
These are not the
reasons.
You know, I'm
telling you the reason everyone in the world, including Shakespeare, prefers fairness.
Shakespeare lived in England.
Yes, but still he preferred when he said to Juliet.
We also like women without
I just told you.
Okay, Marka.
Okay.
This is a few seconds late into the discussion, but I was about to say it when Alex said that, you know, the creams take you to where you are. And I'm willing to concede there might be some profound truth in it. What I'd love to see is that appearing in the ads, because what appears in the ad is diametrically opposite to what we heard.
Thank you.
The ads tell you it makes you fairer. Right. Alec
fairer
is admitting.
Then
you are. But you just said that they don't. They
yes,
actually
they
bring you to where you are.
Fairer than you are at the present day.
All right, I've got to end.
Take you back your natural
I've got to end.
You're born with.
You mean the baby pink you're born
sunscreen.
With. The baby
sunscreen.
Pink.
No, not the baby
I've
pink.
I've got to end.
The black.
Last word to you, Mahesh.
You know, we've got choices to make. There are lots of things that have been wrong for a long time. And we can correct some of those. We can steer in the right direction. This is a chance to do so. This platform is a chance to do so.
And I have to end with just saying that life is filled with shades of grey. And many colours.
How many shades?
And many colours.
50 shades of grey.
50 shades of grey. And that's where the fun is. That's where the fun is. All right.
Beauty is in the...
Actually, beauty is not in the eyes of the beholder. Beauty derives from your sense of self. And nothing is worth losing that. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much.